Operator. Operator, will you please give me the correct time?
Certainly, sir. It's Joan Davis time.
Sure. It's Joan Davis time.
Well, there's no question about it. From coast to coast, it's Joan Davis time.
It's Joan Davis time.
During the time you spend with Joan Davis tonight, you'll hear the voice of her special guest, one of the most popular actors and nicest he-men in Hollywood, John Payne. Plus a great supporting cast featuring Lionel Stander, Hans Conried, Mary Jane Croft, the music of John Rarick's orchestra, the Choral Air Singing Quintet, and yours sincerely, Ben Gage. The Choral Airs pursue their calling and sing, I Got a Feeling I'm Falling.
I'm flying high, but I got a feeling I'm falling. Falling for nobody else but you. You caught my eye, and I got a feeling I'm falling. Show me the ring and I'll jump right through. I used to travel single.
We chance to mingle all.
Now I'm a tringle over you. Hey, Mr. Parsons, stand by, for I got a feeling I'm falling. Falling for nobody else but you.
And now it's time to meet the star of our show, America's Queen of Comedy, Joan Davis. Hi, Joanie. Well, friends, it's early morning. It's early morning at Joanie's tea room, and with no customers around, and Lionel, her manager, not there yet, we find Joan leisurely looking over the morning paper.
Gosh, just look at this. Murder, robbery, swindling, another murder, a bank blown up, two more murders, a lynching. Oh, this is so depressing. I'm going to have to stop reading the comic section. And look at this item. Another one of those hopped-up jalopies in a smash-up. Gosh, the way those kids keep stripping their cars down to make them go faster. No fenders, no bumpers, no hoods, no windshields. In fact, just the other day, I saw a kid go by 60 miles an hour driving a 1948 carburetor. And that wasn't the worst. There were seven other kids with him. It was an eight-passenger carburetor. Oh, well, Oh, there's Lionel.
I'm flying high, but I got a feeling I'm falling.
I got a feeling you're tone deaf, too. What's new, Lionel?
Oh, nothing much, except I just picked up the morning mail, boss. Most of it is for you.
Oh, thanks. Let's see. Here's a letter from my grandmother. She says, Dear Joan, please excuse pencil, but I just broke my pen. This pencil ain't much good either, but...
Well, go on.
That's all there is. I guess she broke her pencil, too.
Hey, here's a postcard from my old pal, Ed Hulahan in Brooklyn. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Dear Lionel, how are you, old pal? The gang had a big party last night at Clancy, so I got thinking about you. You remember Clancy, the counterfeiter? Well, he was celebrating. He just found the publisher for his new $10 bill.
Publisher for a $10 bill? I suppose it'll be the April selection of the Buck of the Month Club. Well, let's hear the rest of it.
Okay, Ed says, things are pretty much the same way with me. I'm still married to Michael, that gal I met when I got out of jail. We have six kids now, and another one on the way. However, the doctor says the kid probably won't be sprung before July. Well, that is all for now, your old pal and cellmate, Ed.
Gee, I got a letter from an old friend today, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did you. It's from Cynthia Hubblemeyer. Cynthia Hubblemeyer from back home. She's my best friend at junior high.
Oh, you really liked her, huh?
Liked her? Are you kidding? She was always stealing my boyfriends and acting so snooty and superior. I hated her.
Then how come you was her friend?
With women, what has that got to do with friendship? Well, I think I'll see what Cynthia has to say.
Wait a minute. That envelope is addressed to Mrs. John Payne, care of Joni's tea room.
That's me.
You? How come you're Mrs. John Payne all of a sudden?
Well, I told you how Cynthia always acted superior to me, didn't I?
Yeah, so?
So after I was out here a while, I wrote her that I was married to a famous movie star.
Oh, I see. Wanted to make Cynthia jealous, huh?
Here.
But it sure beats me how you could lie like that.
Well, I couldn't help it. I had to show that, Cynthia. You don't know how mean she was to me. I'll never forget how she embarrassed me at graduation time.
What happened?
She graduated. Honest, Lionel, she was always putting on airs and making nasty cracks. I still remember those times like it was yesterday, walking home from school and running into that catty Cynthia.
For taking your boyfriend Harold away from you.
Oh, don't bother. Harold isn't the only fish in the stream. I have something more exciting to do than sit home nights twiddling my thumbs.
You do?
Yeah, I've learned to twiddle my toes now. I mean, I have other fellas. For instance, there's that good-looking Willie Needlehammer.
You mean that boy that works at the fish market? Oh, he'll never get anywhere.
Well, that's where you're wrong. I was talking to his boss, and he told me Willie has a great head for fish. A real fish head.
Well, I'm afraid I have bad news for you. I rather like Willie myself. Not seriously, of course, but naturally, that lets you out. You see, he likes me, too.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Well, he liked me well enough to take me to the beach yesterday. It was so cute the way he buried me in the sand.
Oh, what? He always buries me in the sand when he takes me to the beach, so there, ha, ha.
Yes, but he buried me face up. And furthermore, Willie is taking me to the prom Saturday night. I bet you aren't even going.
Sure I am.
Oh, but my dear, you can't dance without a boy.
How do you like that? Every year, new rules. Guy, Cynthia, why do you act this way to me? Always making nasty cracks. Always stealing my boyfriends away. Always. Yes, Lionel, that was Cynthia.
Then I don't blame you for wanting to make her jealous. But why do you say you were Mrs. John Payne? The guy's already got a wife, Gloria DeHaven. Why'd you pick on John Payne?
Oh, I don't know. I just went eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And Moe turned out to be John. Luckily, Cynthia doesn't seem to know about Gloria DeHaven.
But, boss, how'd you explain away your tea room address?
Well, I told her I also have a career, which is running the most exclusive tea room in Hollywood where all the glamorous stars gather. You know, just another little white lie.
Little white lie? It's the biggest white lie I've ever heard. What happened to your conscience?
Must have gone snowblind from all the white lies. Now, if you'll excuse me, Lionel, I'll read Cynthia's letter. Let's see what she says. Dear Joan, your wonderful life in Hollywood and your marriage to John Payne have impressed me so much that I've decided to pay you a visit. And I did... a visit? Oh, no! And look what else. She's arriving today.
Well, now what are you going to do?
Lionel, call up the station and find out when the next streetcar leaves for Desire.
Boy, listen to me. Running away don't do no good. You got to bluff the thing out. And here's how to do it. When Cynthia shows up at the tea room, you tell her...
Oh, yes, Cynthia. John and I have been very happy. But forget about me. Tell me about you. How come you've never gotten married, hmm?
Oh, simply because I never met a man that measured up to my standards. You see, my idea of a suitable husband is one who comes from a fine old family, with fine old traditions, a fine old background, and is worth $1 million.
You mean a plain $1 million? Or would it have to be a fine old $1 million?
Please, Joan, you're not being very funny.
Found that out.
Joan, if this tea room of yours is where the cream of Hollywood gathers, where are they? There's nobody here at all.
Oh, I told him that I'm going to be closed for a few days for altercations.
Oh, darling, you mean alterations, not altercations.
I see you haven't been in a Hollywood nightclub lately. Anyhow, someone may still drop in. Maybe not a star that you'd recognize, but some big producer or director. Yeah, some big producer or director.
I say, how are you, Joan, old heifer? Where is Clark, Gregory, Ingrid, and the rest of the jolly old gang?
Oh, they won't be in for a few days. Cynthia, permit me to introduce the famous English producer, Sir Lionel Stander. Sir Lionel, this is my dear friend, Cynthia Hubblemeyer.
How'd you do, old mutton chap?
How do you do? Are you making a picture here, Sir Stander?
Oh, rather. I'm here in America to make a picture about England.
If it's about England, why don't you make it in England?
There's no room there. You keep bumping into J. Arthur Rance. Well, I have to run now. It's been nice meeting you, Miss Hablemeyer. Joan, my dear, give my best to your adoring husband, John. Cheerio, old bovine.
Joan, he called you bovine.
Yeah, ain't that bully? Charming man, Sir Lionel.
Joan, yep. Where is your husband, incidentally? At the studio?
Well, I'm afraid I have bad news for you, Cynthia. John's on location in Alabama.
Alabama?
Yeah, you see, they're making a picture about the Klondike.
Joan Davis, now I know that you've been lying to me. I read in a gossip column on the train only this morning that John Payne was seen dining with Gloria DeHaven at the Brown Derby last night.
He was?
Yes. Now, are you ready to admit that your husband has been running around with another woman?
Cynthia, you're right. I just didn't want to admit it to you, but John and I are...
You're what?
Please don't make me repeat it. It's sloppy enough as it is.
Joe, does this mean that you and John are separated? That you're going to be divorced?
I'm afraid so, Cynthia. It was so beautiful, too. At first, everything was so beautiful, just like it is with all newlyweds. Then as the newness wore off and our marriage settled down into routine, it became like so many Hollywood marriages. We grew tired of each other, and then as time wore on, we got so we just couldn't stand the sight of each other.
My goodness, how long were you married?
4 days.
It seems that Joni's little white lies gave her plenty to explain. But wait till you see what happens when she really meets John Payne.
And in the meantime, lend an ear to this. Got a Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart, and we plan to spend a wonderful evening at home. In the parlor, talking while the lights are low, or just plain sitting, listen to the radio. On my Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart, as long as we're alone, we're all right. We're a couple of stay-at-homes on Saturday night.
Friends, Joan Davis really got into trouble when, in attempting to impress her girlfriend, Cynthia, she claimed to be married to John Payne, the movie star. Well, then when Cynthia unexpectedly arrived for a visit, Joan had to tell her that she and John Payne had separated. Right now, the two girls are at the Blue Fedora restaurant, where Joan is diverting Cynthia's attention from the main issue by calling her attention to some of the famous movie personalities.
Joni, who's that distinguished-looking man that just came in?
Oh, him. He's the famous director, Anatole Gribenis.
Oh. I've never heard of him.
Huh? You haven't?
No.
Why, he just finished directing a sequel to The Naked City.
Oh.
It's called Minneapolis in a Bathrobe.
Oh, Joan, look who's coming this way. It's Gary Cooper.
That's right, it is. I'll talk to him. Hello, Mr. Cooper. Nice day, Mr. Cooper. You're looking fine, Mr. Cooper. Bye, Mr. Cooper. Oh, that Gary Cooper. Talk.
Oh, here comes our waiter.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Oh, bonjour, waiter.
Are you and your mother ready to order now?
Mother? Look, waiter, for your information, I don't look like her mother at all.
Madame, please. I'm a Frenchman, and a Frenchman may be stupid about some things, but a woman is something a Frenchman knows all about at first sight.
Well?
Hello, ma'am. Mademoiselle, will you order now?
Yes, what would you suggest?
Well, the pâté de foie gras is excellent. Also, we have vichyssoise, squab à la grenadine, chateaubriand à la milanaise, capon en brochette, sauce à la bernaise. Have you decided upon anything?
Yes, I think I'll have that chateau, and that vichy. Some of that sauce on the... Oh, give me a hamburger on a toasted bun.
An hamburger? Look, madame.
Waiter. I think I know what I want. I'll have an order of caviar.
Very good. One order of caviar. And you, madame?
Well, you better bring me some of that, too. After all, I can't expect you to kill a whole caviar just for one order. You better make it all white meat.
Very well. Two orders of caviar. Merci, madame.
Yes, I'll have some of that, too. Lovely.
Oh, John, dear, I'm having a wonderful time. But I do wish you and your husband, John Payne, weren't quarreling. Then he could be here with us.
Please, Cynthia. I'd rather not talk about John. It was a mistake from the beginning. I never should have married him.
Was John always so awful, Joan?
Yes, John was always a pain.
Well, I still think it's a shame. It's simply a shame that two people who love each other as much as you and John should quarrel at all. Joan.
What's the matter?
Do you see who's sitting at the table over there? It's your husband.
Whose husband?
Your husband, John Payne.
Oh, that husband. Huh?
Joan, I've got a wonderful idea. We're going right over to his table.
Cynthia, no.
Yes, and I'll introduce the two of you just as though you weren't really married.
No.
Yes, and then you'll kiss and make up and everything will be happy again.
No.
Oh, don't be silly. Come on, let's go over there right now.
This kid won't take my nose for an answer.
Hello, Mr. Payne.
Hello.
You know who this is with me, don't you?
I'm sorry, miss, but I haven't the slightest idea.
How do you like that? The beast refuses to recognize his own wife.
Mr. Payne, take a good look at her.
Please, not while I'm eating.
Oh, John, how can you say things like that to me? Me who has given you the best years of my childhood.
Yes, she's right, Mr. Payne. You shouldn't be so stubborn. After all, Joan came over to you first.
Look, lady, I'm sure you've got the wrong man. Now, why don't you and your mother run along?
Mother? This kid must have been talking to the waiter.
Hey, I'm a friend of Joan's, and perhaps I'm butting in, but I think you should both forgive and forget. Kiss and make up.
Now, wait just a minute. I don't usually go around kissing strange women. There happens to be a very important person in my life who objects to that sort of thing.
Cynthia, he's met another woman. Oh, John, how could you do this to me after all the things I've had to put up with?
Do you mind telling me just what you've had to put up with?
Well, there was your terrible snoring.
Snoring? I never snored in my life.
Well, you made a funny buzzing noise like you were trying to eat a banana underwater.
Payne, you two love each other, and that's all that counts. Now, I want to see you walk out of this restaurant arm in arm.
Well, I'm afraid it'll have to be over my dead body.
Okay, but that's going to make an awful lump in the carpet.
You certainly made a good job of it, boss.
What do you mean?
Here, read this item in a gossip column of the Daily Press.
Well, let me see it. Raised eyebrows department. Who was the strange woman that made a fuss over John Payne at the Blue Fedora restaurant yesterday? Among those who'd like to know is Mrs. John Payne. Gloria DeHaven to you. Lionel, I'm in an awful mess.
You? What about John Payne? A man can't just suddenly have two wives.
Of course not. That's arson.
Not only that, but you know what a horrible thing it would mean if a man actually did have two wives?
No, what?
Two mother-in-laws.
Lionel, what do you think I ought to do?
Well, if I was you, boss, I would... Whatever it is, you better do it. And do it fast. Mr. Payne just came in.
Uh-oh, well, I gotta be going out the back way fast.
Hey, wait a minute, you.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there's nobody here by that name.
Look, I traced you here through the cab driver that picked you and your friend up at the Blue Fedora yesterday. Now, look, there's something going on behind my back, and I don't like it. It gives me a funny feeling.
Well, why don't you take off your woolen ones and change the cotton ones? It's spring, you know.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyhow, because of that silly act you put on the Blue Fedora yesterday, reporters have been plaguing my wife and me and asking a lot of embarrassing questions. And I'm worried. I can't sleep. I'm beginning to look like a wreck. And movie actors aren't popular if they look like wrecks.
Yeah, they're different from crooners, ain't they?
Now, won't you please tell me what this is all about?
Well, I told my girlfriend Cynthia that I was married to you, and then when we saw you yesterday, I had to go through with the thing or be called a liar. And... Well, I bet you thought I was just a loud, crazy moron.
Well, I didn't think you were so loud. Anyhow, your performance yesterday certainly convinced a lot of people. And you had a tough part to play, too.
Oh, I don't know. Any really great actress could play it. Betty Davis, Helen Hayes, Catherine Cornell, Ingrid Bergman, any one of us.
Look, Miss Davis, you got me into this trouble. Please get me out.
But gosh, Mr. Payne, if my girlfriends find out that I'm not really married to you, I'll be the laughing stock of my hometown.
I'm very sorry about that, but...
Look, won't you help me convince her that we really are married? Then she'll go back home, and nobody will ever be the wiser.
Well,
Oh, oh, here she comes, Mr. Payne. Please, just make love to me. Then I'll get you out of all this trouble.
I'm a fool to do this, but... Well, all right.
Joan, I was just wondering, dear, if... Oh. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I didn't know you'd... Oh, well, that is...
Cynthia! John has come home.
Yes, I've come home. I couldn't stand being away from you, Joan. Your face haunted me,
Yeah, my face will do it every time. Oh, John, why did you stay away so long? Don't lie to me to save my feelings. If you're tired of me, I must know. Is there someone new?
Don't be silly. You know how I feel about anything new. The older things get, the more precious they get, and you're awfully precious.
Darling, I love to hear you talk that way. We have meant a great deal to each other in the past, haven't we?
Yes. You've always been good to me. Always taken care of me.
That's right. I waited on you and cared for you. I gave you hot soup when you were cold. And cold soup when you were hot. And lukewarm soup when you were Luke. And fishy when you were swath.
But, darling, before you get any further, will you forgive and forget?
I will if you will.
And now, will you kiss me?
I will if you will. Kiss me, John.
Remember, I'm still here.
Please, one at a time.
Darling, come into my arms. Joan. When you kiss me, something electric passes through me and I tremble.
Sounds like a short in your wiring.
Darling, I know we're going to be happy from now on because we were meant for each other. Meant to be husband and wife.
Yes, we were. Hello? Yes, he's here. Just a minute, I'll put him on. John, dear, it's for you.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, hello? Oh, yes, 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 dear. I'm coming home in a little while. Yes, honey. I'll try to remember. Half a dozen eggs, quarter pound of butter. All right, sweetheart. What? Huh? Oh, yes. Of course I love you, darling. Bye now. Joan, I'd like to stay and make love to you, but I've got to get home to my wife.
Actually, I understand.
Don't forget our deal now. Goodbye.
Wonderful fella, that John Payne. Awfully busy, though.
Joan, look at me. John Payne was obviously talking to his wife on the phone. If this is true, Joan, then our friendship is over. We'll never speak to each other again. We're through as friends. Now then, is it true?
What'd you say, stranger?
Joan, I demand an explanation. What are you to John Payne?
Well, you see, he's married to Gloria... I'm his wife by a former... And he's my husband... Cynthia, I gotta tell you the truth.
Yes, what is it?
I'm not John's only girl.
You're not?
No, I'm John's other wife.
Johnny will be back in a minute, but while she's gone, here's something well worth remembering. We reserve this next minute or so for a serious salute, a sincere salute to the men in our peacetime Army and Air Force. I'm sure we're all proud to know that the United States has the finest all-volunteer peacetime Army and Air Force in its entire history. It's the largest, the best trained, and best educated, technically, of any army in the entire world. Today's Army and Air Force are actually two great scientific research organizations. They're discovering new methods and perfecting devices which will have an effect upon our peacetime way of life. Today's enlisted man is a skilled professional. He works with the newest techniques and with the most modern equipment. And he works in the field of his own choice, aerial photography, electronics, engine maintenance, or any one of 40 different special courses. The knowledge which a young man acquires in the United States Army will serve him well when he returns to civilian life. Next Tuesday, April 6th, is Army Day. Let's salute the men of our great peacetime Army and Air Force on Army Day and on every other day. Now here's Joni again.
Well, I certainly want to thank John Payne for paying us a visit tonight. It was wonderful having you around, John.
Thank you, Joni. It was lots of fun. You know, our little skit sort of illustrated something to me. Seems a good many people are always trying to be somebody else.
Yeah, especially in Hollywood.
Explain that, please.
Sure. For instance, Ingrid Bergman puts on a black wig to look just like Hedy Lamarr. And Hedy Lamarr puts on a blonde wig to look like Ingrid Bergman. And Bing Crosby puts on a brown wig to look like Bing Crosby.
Say, wait a minute, Joni. Haven't you been doing something to your hair, too?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Good night, John.
Good night, Joe.
And goodbye now.
Don't forget, there's more good fun and music coming at you next week, coast to coast, when Joni will brush off the welcome mat to greet her special guests, Bob Sweeney and Hal March. So remember, if anybody asks you what time it is next week at this time, tell them it's Joan Davis time.
It's Joan Davis time.
Joan Davis Time is produced and directed by Dick Mack and written by Larry Marks and Arthur Stander with Chet Kasteloff. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.